Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. I'm Jeff. That is Tom. And you are you, and you're here with us. And for that, I do say thank you. Would note that you can find me on Twitter as well, at Jay Cameron Show. If you're watching the show on YouTube on War Chant TV, thanks for that, too. Good to be with you. It's great to be with you. Redemption Thursday. Yes, yes, yes. An honest-to-goodness reminder that we are in, officially, football season. Tom, I don't know if you realize this. We've been running around crazy. A lot of us have. We've got a lot of exciting news coming in the next few weeks. Plenty of people that have been with us for years and whom we've worked with continue to come on board, and that's exciting. But it's a lot of work. We're running around getting everybody set and make sure everybody's happy. But you may not have checked the calendar. You may not have checked the schedule in the throes of work as you were. 28 games tonight.
Is that right?
28 games.
The Warwick Dunn count.
Man, is that something. Now, I think I got word moments ago that one of them got moved to Saturday because of the inclement weather, to put it mildly, in the Northeast. The Rutgers-Temple game, which I know you were pumped about, has been moved to Saturday. I would tell you, I'm interested in that game. I'm on the side of Rutgers, given the 13.5 if I can still get it against Temple there. That's just an aside.
So that's a kind of a prologue to the Redemption Thursday wagers?
Yeah.
That's not even the real slate. No, that's not the big card?
No, and I'm still adding to the card. Now, we posted it moments ago. And, hey, go look for yourself. Let's get it on. It's charitable. It's fun. It's a chance to wager non-perishable food items. For example, you might say, Jeff, I'll tell you what. I don't see eye to eye with you on that South Alabama Southern Miss game. And I'm going to go ahead and bet two boxes of Captain Crunch that says you're wrong. You could do that. You could do that. And somebody would win or lose two boxes of Captain Crunch to be delivered to a charity of your choice.
There it is. It's a beautiful sight. The director putting it together.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that. There it is. You know, I had to add to my slate of games. Here they are. I did not want to touch the Florida State-Notre Dame game, but I figured the audience would be disappointed if I didn't actually address Florida State's chances in Redemption Thursday. So I am on Notre Dame's side here, minus the 7.5, if I have to do it. I didn't do it in my real life. I can't do it. Can't bring myself to do it. I'm hoping there's some magic in the air Sunday night. I do feel like the electricity will be just that, and we'll all feel it as we walk in there. There's no doubt. But is it enough? Is it enough? Can it sustain Florida State well into the second half where maybe the dream is realized? And, you know, I do think there's a path to victory here. I don't think it's an unwinnable game. There are a couple games on the schedule that I go, ooh, no real chance there. Not gonna do it. This isn't one of those. This is a winnable game. And I think obviously I've repeated it over and over and over again. And the more I think about it, the more I really, really feel like Florida State just has to have something good happen early. It could be something small, but just something good early to feel good about itself. I've seen too many teams that have been down trying to fight their way out of a hole and really kind of believing, buying in, working hard. You read the reports, you find out from people that are covering the team, boots on the ground, that they've worked hard, that they've played well, that the coaching staff is connected, and then they go out and something bad happens and they fall back into bad habits. And that's just my biggest fear, that they'll get punched and they'll kind of hang their head a little bit, and the next thing you know, you got to talk them off the ledge again. And that's unfortunate, but I think that's what happens when you're trying to flip culture and you're trying to fight your way back to a place of respectable efforts week in and week out.
So you said this a few times this week. Let's define those terms. Notre Dame goes 8 plays, 75 yards, 5.5 minutes. They're up 7-0. They got the ball first. You saying we can't win at that point?
No. I'm not saying that at all. I want to see how they react to something that's negative. I want to see, do they respond in a way that makes you proud? I mean, that's part of the problem. Let's just say it. I mean, this team, the last few years, good Christ, the first time anything happens negative, they can't battle back. They just be, you see them slump. It's crazy. It's not an overstatement. You could quite literally see their shoulders slump when things began to go poorly Not every game, but a lot of games, you and I would comment. We'd be like, oh, here we go. Look at them. Look at them. They're shell-shocked.
All right. 10-0 Notre Dame, first quarter. Florida State has the ball. Do they have a chance?
Yes, they're still in the game. I don't, you know.
14-0. I want to hear, like, because if you're talking about something good has to happen early, I'm trying to define the terms. What is the point of no return if you're watching this game on Sunday and you're saying, that's that?
There's two ways to look at this. First of all, you can logically look out on the field and see a physical mismatch. Your team is down by two scores. They're not coming back. But that doesn't mean that they don't fight like hell in order to try and come back. So you could realistically be very pragmatic in the moment and say, well, I mean, the chances of winning this game are slim and none at this point. But I better not look out there and know that there's no chance because I'm not seeing effort, because I'm seeing people give up. That can't happen. I mean, I don't care if they're down. And we're worst case scenarioing this thing. I don't care if they're down 35-7. I better not see guys lacking effort and not showing fight. I mean, they could get blown out, but you still need to see them play hard.
Yeah, like on the one hand, I understand what you're saying, that it would be a lot easier for things for this program if maybe fumble luck goes your way in the first quarter once or twice, or maybe a kid drops a pass on 3rd and 6, he was open, and next thing you know, Notre Dame has to punt, we have the ball. Like little things like that can add up and allow for a much more loose environment for the players, the crowd in general. The crowd would still be involved in the game. I know you can't know, but in watching this team practice, they seem to be very different than they have been as a program.
Seem to be. Haven't played a game. Let's go find out. They seem to be.
The weeks of evidence in camp do nothing for
you. No, because they're playing each other, and if you can't give effort in practice on a day-to-day basis after winning 3 games last year and you're about to play Notre Dame, then what the hell are you? You're a bum.
Our program the last 3 years? Because they wouldn't have given consistent effort.
No, but remember, when things went wrong, things spiraled out of control and they began to show lackluster effort. They haven't played a game yet. And they've got Notre Dame in the opener in prime time with the nation watching. You can't tell me that you're not motivated at that point to fight and get better and try to improve daily. I mean, losing sucks. We think it's bad as fans to sit out there and watch our team get their head kicked in. It's awful if you're a player because you're the one sacrificing every day just to go out there and get your head kicked in. It's awful. And it should serve as enough of a motivator that day in and day out you say, not again. Not again, no. Hey, because football's really hard. I know you know this. It's really hard, and it can be a drag day to day. I mean, you can really be in at a point of exhaustion and frustration and just be ready to see a different face, another colored jersey. You just want to go compete against anybody but the guy across from you for the last 20 days. But yet, you know, if you went 3-6 last year, and one of your wins is against Jacksonville State, and the other one's against a Duke team who got shut out the week before and didn't want to come here. So really, you won one game against North Carolina when everybody was competing as hard as they could, and that was a great moment, but it was the only moment. No. And he did a good job of running off guys that didn't want to be part of that work. He did a good job of running off people who didn't want to commit to that. So to your point, you'd say, well, no, he's got the guys here that if they're still here, they're committed. I'm not questioning commitment, but adversity in a game is different than committing to working hard in practice. And I want to see, do they respond well when something goes wrong in a game? Because right now it's all pie in the sky. Every player on every team in America before they play a game convinces themselves that they're going to be better than they were a year ago and that they're going to win that game. I mean, you've got 30-point underdogs whose players right now believe they're going to go win that game. Bowling Green, sorry ass, believes that they're going to beat Tennessee, and they're 36.5-point underdogs. Those players believe they're going to go win, that they're going to shock the world. And it's up to Tennessee to stomp that out of them. Early in the game, get up 14-21 and let the world know, yeah, you ain't winning nothing tonight. And they'll play the role at that point. But before that kicks off, it's like baseball teams in spring training. Oh, sure, on paper, the roster doesn't look very good, does it? But you never know. That's why they play the games, and I like our chances and all that other rigmarole, and then they get out there, and you lose 9 of your first 10, and you're well on your way to being the Baltimore Orioles. You know, reality hits you. But Baltimore didn't think when they were in camp as a player that they were going to lose 110 games.
Okay, to stick with the baseball analogy, there have been – too many times over the past 5-6 years for the baseball program here in Tallahassee that we needed the sport to rear its head on a better program than ours. Say Florida, right? We need baseball to be baseball to win the game tonight. I don't know, maybe something wacky happens. It happens all the time in this sport. Are we there with this program for Notre Dame on Sunday? Because if they were returning a lot more players than they weren't, I'd say, yeah, you probably need a lot of things to go your way. But given the overhaul with Notre Dame, and even though last year's group here was a mess, you have a little bit of precedent that that team had no business beating North Carolina on a Saturday night.
None.
Mac Brown should be ashamed of that game. And we were up 35-0 on them. Like, so all I'm saying is...
Was it 35-0?
I think it was.
Was it 35-0?
Might have been 28-0, whatever it was. It was absurd.
And we had a chance to actually blow them out. We screwed up going in.
That's correct.
Yeah, up 10 with the ball, yeah.
Right. There was also a situation, well, whatever. The point being that that game, I think, was a more lopsided situation before the ball kicked off than this game will be because of all that Notre Dame lost in the offseason. There was less hope against against North Carolina than there is for this particular matchup on Sunday night. So that's where I'm saying, like, I understand... In certain situations, against Clemson, for example, you need a lot of stuff to go your way before you even entertain the idea.
Yeah.
And it probably needs to happen for 2.5 or 3 full quarters before you entertain the idea.
Hey, we're up 40.5. You think we're going to win this one?
But, like, on its face, a couple of months ago, when I just started here, I'd said it would be a monumental upset if Florida State beat Notre Dame. I don't believe that as much as I did then because of two things. Number one, I'm seeing this program get better, and number two, you're catching Notre Dame when they're changing a lot of things. A new defensive scheme, a bunch of players gone, the attrition at quarterback, offensive line. That's why Vegas has this game within 10 to begin with. If Notre Dame was Notre Dame of last year, what would the spread be? 14? 17?
Yeah, it's only
a touchdown.
It might be more, yeah.
I think that's about right for this game. So I think some things can go wrong in the beginning, and I think we'll still be plenty in it.
I think, yeah, sure. I again, what I'm talking about is something going wrong early in the game that feels an awful lot like the myriad things that went wrong a year ago, and all of a sudden you see the body language shift. Even if logically you and I are saying no, don't do that, guys. You can win this game. You're down 10-3. Who cares? You're down 13-3. Whatever. I mean, you got plenty of time. Go play. But again, our mindset is very different than their psyche currently. And again, a lot of these guys who we're counting on, not all, because there are plenty of transfers that are going to be playing here in this game. But
I think it was 31-0 for the North Carolina thing. Anyway, sorry.
It was bothering you.
Yes, these things do. You know they do.
I know.
It's a quirk.
Yeah, I'm the same way, though. No, I think, honestly, that some of the guys that we're counting on here have been part of segment groups that have really struggled, and their psyche is fragile. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And I just want to see that they've been emboldened by their hard work. I want to see that there's an infused amount of confidence that comes with that work that you put in, that you sacrifice every day. And that leads to a reason to puff out your chest and be proud and to compete because you know you've put in the work, man. That's the whole thing. That's anything. That's anybody anywhere. If you've put in the work and you've prepared, then you're going to have resilience to you. You're going to have confidence. It's like giving a speech. Did you take the time to prepare that speech? Have you gone over it? Have you committed to it? Have you read it over and over again? Well, then step to the dais and give the damn speech. You know, and eventually somebody will lock in and you'll lock eyes and you'll feel good and you'll get in a rhythm and everything will be fine. And you know that because you've repped it. And that's what these guys got to do, man. They've put in the work.
So how was the Sunrise Rotary earlier this week?
It was great. It was great. I had no fear.
Who'd you lock eyes with?
The whole room. All of us. We were together. I just think that, honestly, that's what I want to see. I want to see that they are past some of those problems from yesteryear. And the only way to see it is during a game, have it play out where the fight continues after the adversity hits. That's possible. And I'm not saying they're not going to do that. I'm just waiting anxiously, I might add, to see it with my own eyes. Because that...
What do you believe? Do you believe they will respond? In your heart right now, before the evidence is there for you to see. What do you believe?
Yeah, they're going to compete and work hard. Yeah, that I do believe. I think, unfortunately, they're physically at a disadvantage in this game. And as the game wears on, it will be a lost cause because of that. That they're going to get worn down. And that ultimately will lead to them losing the football game. But I think that that's very different and completely acceptable. If it plays out that way and we're not at a disadvantage because of coaching, you know, I mean, we've all admittedly said two fingers to my eyes, two fingers back to you, Adam Fuller. I need to see a defense that's coordinated, that's physical, that plays fast, plays confidently. Have you been able to ingrain and teach this system to these guys? Can they apply it in a game setting as opposed to looking completely lost and absolutely out of place? Because if the answer is yes, then even if they lose because they're not physically good enough, you'll be fine, because that means a lot of other games on this schedule are imminently winnable at that moment. You know, there's a reason you're a significant underdog at home against Notre Dame, just as you will be an underdog when you face Clemson and Florida and Miami. We're talking about the physical detriments and problems in terms of depth and quality depth that Florida State might have in those kinds of games. But, of course, there are six or seven games where that is not the case. So if the fight is there and they're organized and they're coordinated and they believe and they're confident and they play, then you're going to go beat Wake Forest in 2 weeks. And then you're going to beat, go on down the list, Louisville and Syracuse. You're going to beat those teams then. And that now we kind of shift to the fan base a little bit. But if you're in the stands watching this game and you're just getting pushed around, okay, well, that sucks. Nobody likes it. It's like being bullied. That's not cool. But that's not an excuse. That's a reason. Then you're going, okay, well, we got to get better players. We got to get a greater depth of quality players in here, and that's what that 2022 class is about. That's what we keep talking about, right? That's raising the floor of talent so that when you get into these games, now that you know what you're doing, you can win them because you got players that are as big, as strong, as fast. But until that happens, you know, you're going to lose some games just by matchup and physical detriments alone. But you can win all the other games, and fans will then say, all right, here we go. I got a group that's going to win that Louisville and Syracuse game, let alone the Jacksonville State game. And then who knows? Let's go. Let's get it on. Let's see what happens when we go to North Carolina. Let's see what happens when we host NC State, who I think is a real good team. That's you want a reason, and certainly Sunday night, in part, is going to give you some answers finally. I think we're tired of asking questions. And,
sure.
You know, obviously some of these are rhetorical. Some of these are just curious. Some of these are, hey, man, I'm anxious just as you are. I want to see this game. I'm excited about this game.
I feel better about it because I've heard hopelessness in your voice, I thought, often this week. It's not hopelessness per se is what you're saying.
Mm.
Oh, it is.
No, not at all. Okay. No. I don't have hopelessness, no. I just have assumed that we're going to lose the game. And that's not like people are like, what the hell? How can you not believe? Well, I think Notre Dame's better than we are. Not in life.
Certainly not. But look at that town.
In football.
Hashtag dump of a town.
I think currently they're better.
Let's get it trending.
It's like all the times when we were a dominant program and we, you know, would stroll into people's stadiums and, you know, obviously if you went to those roadies, you were like, yeah, you guys ready for your ass beating? You know, and you went to those games knowing damn well you're going to win that game. If you then ask somebody whose team was a 7 or 14 or more point underdog, you know, do you think you can win tonight? They might have said, yeah, but I'm not picking us. That didn't make them negative. It made them realists. You know, that's all I'm saying about this game. I think we could win it. It would take an upset. It would take an upset.
My tone would sound a lot more like yours if it was October 25th. Right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Not this first game, they've got a lot going on. They're kind of a mess, not in dysfunctional ways, but they've got a lot of pieces moving.
Well, I wish, and this is where the first week of the season, we're all at a disadvantage in trying to project. We think we know. We've looked at personnel. You read all the material that you can to educate yourself. In our situation, we're fortunate. We have access to people who cover teams on the ground. You can reach out to those people or you can read their reports. And I try to do that just to get a sense of what's going on. And when you look at teams on our schedule, I'm always kind of looking at their boards and talking to their beat writers and those kinds of things to try to figure out, have they had a good camp? Have they looked good? Oh, really? They got problems? There's acrimony between the coaching staff and the fan? Well, then I want to know those things. But without us being there, in that dump of a town.
That's right. Who would want to be there?
Covering Notre Dame on a daily basis. I don't know how disorganized they are. They may walk out there completely in rhythm, ready to roll. I mean, I'm sure they've repped the hell out of what they want to do. They've got good players.
Oh, I'd imagine it'd be vanilla anyway. They're going to say, we're going to do the vanilla things, and if we have to break out any tricks, we will. But prove it to us that we need to, Florida State. Because this is going to be very basic.
I didn't even go over these games. They were posted. I'll get to them in a moment, and we'll also talk a little bit about Florida State from today. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV on a Redemption Thursday.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Looking at you, Mark Stoops. Do some things. Redemption Thursday is the only reason you'd hear me say those words. I'm looking at you, Mark Stoops. Let's do some things. That would not ordinarily be part of my lexicon there, phrasing.
It was back in 2012.
It was. Well, they brought in Liam Cohen from the Los Angeles Rams. He, by the way, as OC, well, he was not the OC with the Rams, but he helped coordinate the passing game and work with the quarterbacks. So they're trying to get a needed boost, a little something to bolster that offense. They've been able to run the ball at Kentucky for some time, and they've played physical defense, of course, but they haven't been able to throw it much. They got a Penn State transfer in at quarterback. So I think they're going to be a little bit better on offense, and that Louisiana Monroe team is simply dreadful on defense for 5 years running now. Let's go over the 54.5. By the way, you know that's where Rich Rod is?
Is that right?
Yeah, he's at Louisiana Monroe, and he's calling plays for his son, Rhett Rodriguez.
Oh, so he's not even the head coach?
I didn't look. I think he is, yes. I think he is the head coach. But, yeah, he's there's a
join your son's staff. That would be interesting.
Well, his son's the quarterback. But
Okay.
He's calling plays for him.
He's old enough where his kid could have been, yeah. I suppose, a boy wonder.
No, his kid's playing quarterback. Rhett is playing quarterback, and he's calling plays for him.
God, you're prepared with ULM and these other schools. It's amazing.
You think maybe I've done a little bit of research?
I'm worried. I'm worried about you.
It's Redemption Thursday. Kentucky, ULM, over 54, baby. Rich Rod's going to coach him up. They'll get it to 17. And then Kentucky will light up that god-awful defense, and we'll jump on that cover train.
I can feel it all the way down in
my
plums. That's
right. We're going over 54. Louisiana Lafayette, not a team that you'd say, how do you know about them? Because if you paid attention, they went 9-1 a year ago, and they had a top 20 defense in the country. They have a great defense. I'm counting on that defense to step up big against Texas. Come on, Patrick Toney. Let's coach him up. Under 58, Tom.
I can feel it all the way
under
down.
Under 58
plums.
Is one of the wagers there. I got Texas A&M, Jimbo's group, going to lay a walloping on Kent State. I'll give the 28.5, coach. South Alabama -1 against Southern Miss. They've got experience at quarterback, Major Applewhite.
Wait a minute. Let me cut in. This is the first one of the year for the new audience.
You gonna do this?
This is not the same thing as what was declared.
No, not
for this
a redemption.
Weekend.
No, not a Cat 5 maintained.
But any time that there's a wager that makes no sense, and by
no
sense, I mean,
yeah.
Well, of course it makes sense because somebody over here has been reading between the lines very carefully.
Doing my best.
Yeah. When you see two teams that are basically anonymous, they're the teams in the bottom line where you're like, all right, enough about that score. I want to get to my scores. I will fire up the Cat 5 horn because that is an alert. You would never see that on its own. Nobody has an opinion on, what was it, South Alabama and Southern
Miss? I have
an
opinion on South Alabama and Southern Miss, yes.
Without real degenerate skills. So that's the alarm.
Yeah, I am.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
And by the way, thanks to one of our listeners, I wasn't even paying attention. I don't know how this escaped me. I was just thinking about Rich Rod calling plays. But Terry Bowden's the head coach at Louisiana Monroe. Terry Bowden.
Is that right?
He had to take a leave,
obviously.
He
took the leave.
Yeah,
that's where it was from. I, for some reason, think he's still at Akron.
Well, he was there. You had that right. But anyhow, that's, so this game, South Alabama -1, Major Applewhite coaching up Jack Bentley. Gonna get him throwing it around.
Oh.
Gonna get it. He's a transfer.
Jack Bentley, huh?
Jack Bentley. Oh, he came over from Utah, ready to throw it around. Here we go.
You have upped your game. You have upped your game.
Southern Miss is dealing with a quarterback who's only thrown the ball, I think, 59 times in his career. So this just it's an opportunity here. I think that line's a little low. Give me South Alabama on -1.
Yeah.
I had it at -4, but it dropped to -1. I said, okay, I'm all over this. Let's do this.
Subscribe to College Sportsbook on YouTube, apparently, right?
College Sportsbook. You'll find me giving out some of these games and more. That should be posted later today.
They are feeding the beast inside you.
It's a glorious thing. So that is one of the games that I have for this week, and you should too. You should jump on board. Again, flying a little blind early in the season, and it's hard to get a feel for last season as well when you go through this, but I did come prepared today, and I mentioned to you the Raging Cajuns at +8 and under the 58. Texas will play good defense this year too.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have enough to slow down, Bijan Robinson?
I don't know. Yeah. You would know better than
I. Texas has a great running back, and he's a he's one of those guys that's on that abbreviated Heisman list. He's a great player, but I do think that Patrick Toney's defense at Louisiana Lafayette will play good again in this game in slowing down the run.
Okay.
And we may see this thing bogged down and get under 58.
So you like that better than the 8, though, because you mentioned +8. That's not on the card.
No, I'm officially going with the under 58, all right. Maybe in my real life I've got a tandem thing going here.
Oh, a little tandem.
Hey, now. I've got NC State. I think NC State's going to hammer USF. I think very quietly USF turned into a dumpster fire. And it's like, when you go back and look at some of the numbers for USF, you go, Jesus, that is terrible. What is wrong with it? Did I not put that on the list?
What? NC State, USF?
I had to have, right?
Yeah, it's there. NC State minus the 19.
Yeah, I'm giving that 19 all day. This is an ass beating. That's a beating. I'm telling you now, Devin Leary, that offensive line, Bam Knight, they're going to run the football. They play good defense.
I can feel all the way down.
Bam Knight is still there?
Unfortunately.
Oh, my God. He and Adrian Martinez, except Bam's better at what he does, right?
Bam's really good. And four of the five receivers that produced for NC State last year are back for Devin Leary. So I do have some fear about this NC State team being pretty damn good. They're really experienced.
May as well profit off of them if they're going to be good.
Yeah, I'm going to give the 19. We're going to have to buckle up and get prepared. We got to be ready to play football when we play NC State. That's way off in the distance right now, but I'm going to need us to get locked in because they're physical.
Maybe we should prepare for them instead of Notre Dame. Lost cause on Sunday.
I didn't say that. I have not said that at all. I'm ready to go watch that thing turn into an upset, celebrate. My dad and I are going. It's going to be good times. I wouldn't miss that atmosphere if you paid me. I got to be there.
Got to get the Rich Waltz clip. Light that thing up!
I took a couple here, Tom. Get ready to sound the horn.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So how much do you know about Eastern Washington?
Oh, I know their field is red, right?
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. They are the Eagles, Tom. They also were one of the best passing attacks in the FCS. They were fantastic, and they have
fantastic
38 career starts at quarterback. Eric Berry back for another year, and it's a short year because they're coming off a spring season, so they're just rolling on Big River.
Okay,
and they're facing a team in UNLV that may be one of the, again, five or six worst teams in the country, and I'm getting points.
So it's Eastern Washington, UNLV is the matchup. Is that right?
I'm going to take Eastern Washington +3.5. They'll be in this thing.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
If you look at numbers like success rate, points per drive, EPA, sack rate, UNLV is in the wrong number grouping. You don't want them to be where they are. They're like, they're planted in these areas where you go, well, that's disconcerting.
Sack rate, no bueno.
No. So they give it up. They can't. They're punchless on offense. Just come on. Let's go, right. Eastern Washington.
That's right.
I also took Western Kentucky -22 against Tennessee.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums. Big board. I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's fun. I took Western
Three Kentucky. Of them in the opening weekend. I think three on any given week is a new record. Typically, I only hit that horn twice.
You can find that game 8 o'clock at night, ESPN Plus. Western Kentucky giving the 22 against Tennessee Martin. Tennessee Martin a little overwhelmed here. This is not going to be a tough day at the office. You got to find these games, folks. That's what Redemption Thursday is about.
Like, I'll bet Tennessee Martin, and meaning against them if, I don't know, say Georgia's playing them for a tune-up. But you will find Western Kentucky Tennessee Martin.
It's my job, Tom Lang.
Yeah, apparently.
Came in here on a Redemption Thursday ready to ride.
Yeah, this is something.
And I also took North Carolina minus 5.5 against Virginia
I've heard
Tech.
Of that team. Yeah, oh, I've heard of both of those teams. That's good.
So I'm counting on, and I don't know this, I could be dead wrong. This is a game I'm nervous about. It's less about North Carolina being preseason hype the way that they are to win the Coastal and unseat Miami and go and play Clemson in the ACC championship game. It's less about all of that hype. It's less about Sam Howell, all that. I do like North Carolina's team. I think they got a pretty good chance to be decent on defense. But what I will tell you is that I'm just not hearing what I need to hear from Justin Fuente and the folks in Blacksburg. They've got some issues still.
So you're nervous about this game because there were a lot of potato chips on North Carolina?
No, I took them, but I'm nervous about it because what if he righted the room? Virginia Tech, Lane Stadium, at night, that place is one of the definitive home field advantages when they're right. When they're right, it's a great place to go play a football game. It's a hard place to go and win in when they're right. Now, they haven't been right in a while. Justin's got some issues. Is that game... what time is that game?
Game is 6 o'clock tomorrow. It'll be on the TVs when we're all at Horizons, hanging out together for the headlines party.
But did I double check? Did I get that wrong? I might have had... no, I'm glad that it is tomorrow, but...
It's in Blacksburg.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, but I just... I doubted myself. Sometimes these preseason games you forget.
Well, when you have the Rolodex of Tennessee Martin and Eastern Kentucky, and you're talking to me about where Rich Rod's son is going to be an amazing quarterback.
His name is Rhett.
Rhett Rod.
Rhett Rod and Rich Rod trying to help out Terry Bowden.
Isn't that what the kid said in The Shining? Rhett Rod.
No, Red Rum.
Oh, well, close enough.
And the only thing I care about with Rich Rod and Rhett is that they score me 17 points somewhere in that neighborhood. Right, then I feel like that over is there. So that is your redemption. Those are your Redemption Thursday wagers. You get a little glimpse, a little taste of what I'm about. As we go into college football more and more, and an opportunity for you to like and subscribe to College Sportsbook as we...
Well, on this fine program on this channel, or Chant TV.
Forget about it. Yeah.
I don't have incentives for subscriptions to that channel. How about this one?
I got to read some questions here that we have, and also...
We have some contributions as well we got to get to.
We got to salute everybody. It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. So, I don't know what it is. If you can see this on camera, this cup.
They can hear you now.
All right. Can you hear me, Mad Dog? So, here's the cup. This is a nothing cup. It's a Dixie cup. But I have to tell you, I love the feel of these things. I just want to touch these cups.
Time was I could have a Dixie cup in my hand.
I'm just telling you, this Dixie cup is just wonderful to touch. Just so you know.
Did they sign a deal that I'm unaware of?
No. Okay. Don't worry about it, Tom. Woo! Every afternoon, you're like, what? Again with the Dixie cup talk. I just like the feel of them. That's all. Nothing going on here.
An email from Gene. Did something go on that I don't know about?
Oh, should I be getting cut in on this Dixie cup love? No, just a wonderful feel. Eric writes into the program on the chat. Now, I've been trying desperately to find a balance where I don't just continue to stare at the chat and all that stuff. So I'm doing a better job of that, I think. And we're not spending an inordinate amount of time getting to that. But we do want to say thank you to those who have been kind enough to offer something up. Eric has, as he does every day. My God, you independently wealthy man and beautiful listener of the show. What's up, Jeff and Tom? College football is finally here. Woo, indeed. Redemption Thursday and Thursday also. Go Noles. See you guys on Saturday. Beat Notre Dame. I appreciate that. Kyle also got in. He's checking in from the high country, Montana, where the beer flows like wine and the women instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano.
That's his other comment. I'd put this one up.
Yeah.
You know, I like when people throw the pizza money. You say that enough now. Mm-hmm. That pizza money is, yeah, you know, take a shot.
Take a shot with a little bit of pizza money.
Pizza money.
Hope you're confident in your picks. I'm going to Vegas tomorrow. Need all the extra pizza money I can get. Need Jeff, a.k.a. the ATM, to help a brother out. Well, it's early in the year, guys, and if you are a sporting guy, as you clearly are, sporting guy or gal, then you know that the early season wagers can be a little dicey. They also could be spot on because of yours truly and the work being done here. Oh, what's in that cup? What's in that cup? Coffee. Take a look. Can you see on camera here? Can you see the coffee?
Try and angle it without spilling it. That's a good challenge.
There you go.
Shorting out the equipment.
Everybody can see that.
That looks like a porter to me.
I wish. It's just tasty coffee.
Woo!
I'm drinking way too much coffee these days.
That was for the porter, not a comment.
Way too much coffee these days. I had a rule where I wasn't drinking coffee afternoon. Now I'm drinking coffee 4 p.m. It's just, we're getting geared up.
Is that right?
So
we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago where we went to a coffee shop and it was packed. And I'm saying, what are people here for at 4:30 in the afternoon with coffee? I get it. Maybe if somebody has a night shift as a medical worker or something like that, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you would be one of those people at the coffee shop at 4:30 in the afternoon, huh?
Probably not just a straight up black coffee at that point. I would probably get some sort of specialty drink.
Okay. Like a porter?
At the coffee shop? No. So, listen. I'm really encouraged by the week of practice this team has had. And I'm really encouraged by what I've seen from the team in terms of relative health going into this game. We got a lot of guys back. I can't get into personnel and all that. I don't want to get in trouble. But I feel like a lot of the guys we're going to be counting on, starters and their backups, a lot of those guys have made their way back, and hopefully they've been able to get a lot of meaningful practice in.
Yeah, I don't think you're burning any bridges there because we've reported on Jerrion Jones, who Mike Norvell said yesterday is at full speed.
He looked great yesterday when I saw him. He looked fantastic. He was locked in.
It's fully cleared for contact, all that kind of stuff. It's just a matter of getting up to the game speed and getting in game shape for Jerrion Jones. And then Mike said it last week as well. Anybody that they started at camp with, they feel good about. So anybody that was on the roster and not with a major injury at the beginning of camp, they feel like is going to be available to them to start the season. He's been knocking on wood about the soft tissue issue, and I realize that rhymes now, but he said that in his press conference last week, so you're not burning any bridges. Anybody that was not on injured reserve or had a long-term injury like an Emmett Rice pretty much is good to go.
Yeah, the prospects of getting Emmett Rice back, I go off on a tangent here. He's not playing in this game. That's huge. I mean, if they're going to have the kind of season that they want to have, if you could get him back, because that's an area of great weakness, if you could get him back, say, by the time you play Wake,
right?
Maybe,
yeah.
That'd be great. That'd be great. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not suggesting as much. I just don't know. But I like that kid, and I know he's working hard, and I would love to get him back because they need his presence. That segment group is the one that I think we have the most question marks about.
Yeah, that's one element of the defense that I do want to see, and I need to see it to believe it, is coordination pre-snap, the communication between the linebackers and the guys up front, the communication from the safeties to the linebackers. There's a lot of moving parts there. A lot of new names in the two deep. Some guys emerge that you didn't expect necessarily to emerge. Of course, Amari Gaynor is one of the three starters at linebacker if you look at the full depth chart. But studying that depth chart in the two deep, you're saying, all right, so who is going to be the guy that calls in the checks at safety level and at the linebacker level? And are they ready to do it in real time?
Yeah.
Thankfully, Notre Dame isn't exactly a run up to the line of scrimmage and confuse you type of offense, but you're going to have to get good at that quicker. Emmett Rice would solve a lot of those issues on first and second down.
Yeah, good kid, good player. You know, he has his limitations, as a lot of this roster does, but he is one of your better players at the position, and he has worked hard, and he's a knowledgeable player, like you're alluding to. So I desperately want to see him get back. It's he's got a chance to help that unit out quite a bit, so we'll see. Short segment here. Come back, wrap up the hour. It's Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. I'll answer that question. We do know who is going to be on the call for ABC Sunday night. That's Joe Tess, right?
It's Joe Tess and Greg McElroy, I do believe.
But
I go back and forth on him. Sometimes he's good, and sometimes he's insufferable.
I don't think he's unfair. So there's no. I don't think he's unfair. So there's that. But Joe Tess is good. If you want somebody to sell something like it's the greatest game ever played or going to be played, that's Joe Tess for any game. Like sometimes you kind of roll your eyes because that game is Kentucky versus ULM, and Joe Tess is telling you how privileged it is to be here right. to watch this yeah. matchup, yeah. and you'll remember it for eons to come. But it's our game, and it is a big game, and he's going to make it feel like a big game.
Yeah, even when he was the Monday Night Football announcer.
Oh, man, yeah. You know,
and it's Giants and Bengals.
It's 3-0 midway through the second quarter, right, and Joe yeah. Tess is telling you how great a game it is.
There he is in from 6 yards. yeah. Cincinnati leads 7-0 with 14:22 to go in the first.
Yeah, you're like, Joe.
Whoa.
Joe.
Whoa. And then he would throw it to Jason Witten.
Mm.
Remember that booth?
Tough times.
Oh, my God, what a booth.
That was a tough toughy.
It was those two when they put Booger on the cart.
Oh, man. Get your ass out of that cart, that's Booger. Right. Yeah. How, you know, you wonder sometimes because there are tryouts. There are, you know, they do a video shoot, a mock game. You call the game with your broadcasting yeah. partner.
They immerse you in the atmosphere.
How in the world did they do that with Jason Witten and not go, well, this is terrible. I mean, Jason's offering up not a damn thing.
I think what happens is some of these networks actually just offer money to famous players or likability. You know, the score is high for these players. Without sight unseen. Like, there's no way he could have tried out. That was, oh, God, Tony Romo's good for CBS. We better get Jason Witten. He seems affable. And that is quite the stereotype because he's not. He's not affable, nor is he intelligent when it comes to analysis from a broadcasting perspective.
Yeah, no, he's
he been, can't communicate it.
He's a Hall of Fame tight end.
Correct.
And that's the end of the descriptor.
Right,
that's where you're done.
I'll bet he could work in the booth.
Yeah, he's...
All right.
Couple of things that came down the pike today out of the National Football League. Good news if you're a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. The team has announced they are 100% vaccinated now. Every member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coaching staff and players, 100% vaccinated. That's very good news.
Good news for the Bucs? Wow, that's a change.
Yeah, really good news for the Bucs.
We don't get good news ever anymore.
Really good news across the board here. And I bring it up because it's another reminder that we will carry the Tampa Bay Buccaneers every game right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio. You'll get to hear that. We can all celebrate the world champions who will not have to stop and not be able to play because of COVID because they are 100% vaccinated.
Yeah, probably. That sounds about right.
I think that sounds about right. Well, we won't be the cause.
That's right.
Yeah, we won't be the cause. So there's that. By the way, the NFC South in general is really humming along with this thing. The Atlanta Falcons, of course, were the first team to announce that they were 100% vaccinated. They did that, I think, some 17 days ago.
Listen, if you want to drive over to catch a really good football game in a couple of weeks down in Jacksonville or over in Jacksonville for our perspective.
New Orleans taking on
Aaron Rodgers against J-Boo.
Yeah.
It's a two-hour drive.
I actually
get in a caravan.
Talked to somebody last night whose company that he works for rented a bus. They're going over.
Is that
they
right?
They jumped on it immediately.
Are there any seats left on the bus?
I did not ask that.
Did you claim one for yourself?
I did not.
Okay.
But I thought about it. I was offered a spot, and I thought, well, don't mind if I do.
That sounds like a fun Sunday right there.
That sounds like a fun Sunday indeed. Yeah. No, I did not claim one. I did not do that, but I thought about it, so go Bucks, and that's an aside. I was just talking about the Bucks story, but yes, that game would be fun, and I hope J.B. plays great. Who's your rooting interest there? You gonna root for Green Bay just because we want New Orleans to get buried? Or you gonna...
No. You want Green Bay to lose as many games as possible because Aaron Rodgers is a bigger threat than Jameis. I'm sorry, he is. Currently, he is.
Yeah, Aaron is one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the league. That is correct, and an all-time great.
I'm not worried about the division. I'm worried about getting out of the NFC.
I'm with you on that. Chef Cameron Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chat TV. Hour number 2 forthcoming. Stay with on a Redemption Thursday.